Of Nick and Katie. It's great to have you with us this morning. I'll try not to be too long, okay? And I promise you I won't be boring. But we're doing a series at the moment entitled Life in the Spirit. And it's all about living life in God's Holy Spirit and learning about how God wants us to live. And last week I preached a message over at Horsham, and I'm not going to repeat word for word what I said, but the theme is the same. It's about the spirit of faith. So this morning, I want us to look at the spirit of faith. Is that all right? The spirit of faith. I wonder how your faith is this morning. I wonder whether you believe at all about Jesus and what you think about him. I want to take a snapshot. Right at the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I want just you imagine that. God, who millions and millions and millions and millions of years ago existed. And millions and millions and millions of years before that, he existed. And millions and millions and millions of years before that, he existed. Because the Bible tells us that God has always been. That's always been a real troubler for the brain, that one. When your child says to you, "Dad, who made God?" I said, "No one made God." "Yeah, but someone must have made God." And as we grow up, if we haven't come to know God ourselves, we continue to ask those questions. How can this be? Well, the answer is very simple. It's because he is God that he has always been. Amen. And our tiny little brains can't compute that. But the fact is that God is God and he's always existed. That's what makes him God. That's what makes you a human that was made by God. And God is so great. So here's a snapshot. About 6,000... I'm told on good authority, about 6,004 years ago, God created man. That's right. Now, that's another brain shatterer for some people, because they reckon man was around millions. It's a lie. Yeah. Man wasn't around. In fact, if you look at the things that they're discovering these days, is that even archaeologists are saying, and geologists are saying, actually, the Earth is very young. That's right. It's not millions and millions and millions and trillions of years old at all. And so God created the heavens and the earth, and man has been on this earth, let's say about 6,000 years. That's not a long period of time. That's when God created man. And in the beginning, God did all this by faith. He did it because God is full of faith. And we're going to look at what faith is this morning. And then I want to take another snapshot. And that's right at the end of time. And right at the end of time, God says that he's going to burn up the heavens that we know and the earth that we know. It's all going to be burnt up. It's a bit scary if you read about it. It's a bit scary if you don't know him. But if you know him, you know everything's going to be all right. He'll take care of all of us if we put our trust in him. But God's going to end that to usher in a new heaven and a new earth, a new kingdom. That's another snapshot. How's God going to do that? Well, he tells us all of this in the Bible. It says, it tells you how it all began. It tells you how it all will finish, where it's going to go to. But it also tells us right in the middle, I want to take another snapshot this morning. The snapshot is of the cross. A big Roman cross 2,000 years ago on a hill just outside of Jerusalem. In fact, it wasn't on the hill outside Jerusalem. It was actually, we've been there. It was just outside the wall of Jerusalem. It was on a very busy walkway where people come and go inside and going into the city and out of the city. It was a very, very public thing. It wasn't far away on the hymn. There is a green hill far away. His cross wasn't on a green hill far away. It was just outside the city, and is where everyone would see what was going on that day. It's a little bit like if he was crucified in Crawley, they would have crucified him probably just outside the county mall. Yeah. They would have put him somewhere very public so everyone could you know, it was a big thing, wasn't it? People being crucified, usually for their crimes, but this man had never done anything wrong. This man, Jesus, had never done anything wrong. And even though the Romans who were crucifying Pilate knew he was innocent, he even washed his hands of him because he didn't know what to do. He was kind of caught between two things. He was caught in fear because he had to show a good face. He was caught between the Jewish religious leaders who wanted Jesus crucified. Now, the reason Jesus was crucified on the cross was because of you. Let's make it personal this morning, because of me. He was crucified on the cross for your sin and the things you've done wrong. And he was crucified for my sins too. And the Bible teaches us and shows us that right from the very beginning, when Adam sinned, disobeyed God, he got cut off from God. And so God had a plan that was put into into action 2,000 years ago, and when Jesus came and died on the cross. And when he died on the cross, he died for the sins of the whole world. Now, God did this by faith. I'm talking to you about faith. God is full of faith. He knows what he's doing. And you may say this morning, yeah, but I don't believe in God. But it doesn't matter what you believe. The fact is, the truth is the truth.
Amen.
The fact is, the Queen lives in Buckingham Palace. Now, for some people who haven't been to Buckingham Palace, we believe that because we've perhaps seen it on the telly or we've heard someone tell us. But the fact is, that's a fact, that's a truth, isn't it? That's one of her homes, one of a number of homes that she has. And in a greater way, you know, the truth about Jesus is the truth, whether you believe it or not. The thing is, God wants to help you to believe.
Amen.
And he does it through giving you the gift of faith to believe. Are you with me? And so when Jesus died on that cross and rose again on the third day, he came to give us life in all its fullness. He came to give us the spirit of faith so we could live in a new way. And if you follow the life of Jesus, you see this God-man, this man-God, because he was God, became a human being. When he became a man, he lived by faith. And Jesus demonstrates, if you're interested to live by faith, read about his life in the Bible. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those Gospels, and read about how he lived by faith. And you too, if you're called on the same God, through his spirit will enable you to live that faith life. Are you with me? And I want us to go this morning to a few Bible verses just to help us to understand this. God is a faith God. He's full of faith. And if my eyes are screwed up this morning, it's because I left my spectacles in the car. So pray for my sight this morning. I'll read the right words. Thank you. John's Gospel, chapter 3. And we're talking about faith. Jesus was full of faith. John's Gospel, chapter 3, and verse 5. And it says here, Jesus was talking to a man called Nick. Any Nicks here today? Anyone by the name of Nick? There's one. Any other Nicks? Okay. So this is especially for Nick, okay? And this is what's happened actually to Nick here. But Jesus said, "Most certainly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, natural birth. Lacey May, right? She's been born. Lovely little girl. But she isn't yet born again. Because it says that which is born naturally is natural, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And Jesus said, don't marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. I got born again when I was 10 and a half years young. I remember it as clear as the day. I remember it clearly today, the steps that I took. And I remember thinking that my whole life would be wasted if I didn't receive this truth that Jesus died on the cross. And I wouldn't have used words like that. I was 10 and a half. But I believed that Jesus died on the cross. And what I did know is I didn't know him. I could see my parents knew him by the way they lived and the way they loved us and the way they loved lots of other people too. But I knew I didn't know him. And I had to receive something that God had done for me 2,000 years ago on a cross just outside, as we said just now. And in a very simple prayer, I invited Jesus to come and forgive me my sin. That's the first thing I did. I asked him to forgive me because I knew that, as little children do, they know when they've done wrong. I knew there was things that was wrong with me. And I realized for the first time in my life, really, that Jesus died for me. And it hit me. It just hit me in here. And I began to cry. And I remember as I was crying, I didn't want any of the grown-ups to see me, so I kind of dropped my head down a bit. But I couldn't stop these tears because I realized Jesus had died for me on the cross and died for my sins and died and rose again so that I might have his life. And I knew something special was happening to me in that moment, in those few moments when I prayed this very simple prayer. And as I was crying, it seemed like an age, but it probably was only for a few minutes. At the end of these tears, some other tears came. And these were tears of joy. Now, I wasn't a depressed boy. I didn't have problems or needs in that sense. I was very happy, actually. But all I knew was that Jesus was coming into my life. And I was welcoming him to come and take control of my life. And that day was the start of my journey. And that day, I got born, what we call born again. Jesus, by the Spirit's power, came in here. So by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God came and I was rebirthed, if you like, connected with God in my spirit. That's deep inside of here. You've all got a spirit here this morning, all of us. It's just a question of whether we're connected with God or not. And the reason Jesus came and died on the cross and rose again from the dead was so that if we will turn to him and say, yep, hands up, I've done stuff wrong, I've got sin in my life, I've got needs in my life, I need a saviour. Well, I've got good news for you, his name's Jesus. Amen. And if you'll let him come into your life and acknowledge that, he'll come in and give you his life in place of yours. Yes. See, when Jesus died on the cross, by faith, this was all a faith act for him, when he died on that cross, he was carrying you on the cross. Whether you believe him or not, he was carrying you on the cross. He knew everything about you. God knew everything about you even before you were born. That was the psalm that Nick was talking about earlier today. He knows every detail of our lives. He knows how many hairs on your head last week, how many you've lost in the week, and so on. He knows every detail about you as a person. And he wants to help you today to believe in him and give you faith so that you'll turn to him and receive his life. So when he hung on the cross, he took your sin, but he didn't just take your sin, he took you. He took Nick to the cross. And there he crucified the old life. And when that old life got buried with Jesus, when Jesus rose again from the dead, he left it all behind him. You see, he paid the price before God the Father, so that we could be forgiven and we could rightly receive a new life on the inside of here. It's very hard to describe, but I can tell you that Jesus this morning is living in me through his spirit. It's his spirit living in me, all right? And every day when I get up, his spirit is moving on the inside of me. It's not weird or wacky, it's just he's just real. So his love is flowing on the inside of me. It's like having a spring of water bubbling up on the inside every day. It's wonderful. And whatever time we get up in the morning, he's there. I took my son to the airport this morning. He's gone to Courchevel to do a bit of snowboarding. Anyone jealous? This morning, for 2 weeks, he's going snowboarding there. And I got up at the bright hour of 3 o'clock this morning. But the Spirit of God, even though I was a bit tired, the Spirit of God was bubbling up on the inside of me. You see, Jesus is real. And he wants to be real in us every moment of every day. He can be real to you if you're... Turn to him, ask him for forgiveness, acknowledge who he is and what he's done for you on that cross, and invite him to come into your life. When you do that, he'll come. Amen. The moment you believe, you can receive him. And what happens is his life replaces our old life. If you understand that, you understand about the bin, man. You know, where we live, we have three bins. We used to have one bin, then it became two bins. Now we've got three bins to deal with our rubbish, right? I don't know how many bins you've got. And those bins are there to take away the rubbish or recycle the rubbish or do something with. Well, what Jesus did on the cross, he binned your sin. He binned your sickness. He binned the things that happened to you that weren't your fault. He took it all away on the cross, buried it, came up alive so that you could receive his life. This is the message of the cross. It's a great message. God loved the world, loved you so much that he gave Jesus, that if you turn to him and believe in him and receive him, which you can do today, you can do it any moment when you decide to do this. He will come and he'll come and make his home in you, and then you live your life for him. And what he promises to give us is eternal life. What is eternal life? It's him. Eternal life is him. Eternal life is knowing him. Eternal life is his life, his kind of life, which is eternal, but it's his life. And to have the life of Christ makes a real Christian. Christian isn't someone who goes to church. Christian is someone who's received Jesus Christ and Christ is living on the inside, and that's what a Christian is. And God's called all of us in this place, no matter what age we are, to come to know him and to let him come and take his place in our lives and to be, what Jesus said here, born again. Amen. And in John's Gospel, chapter 3, we have these amazing words. And this is for some people here today. It says, he must increase, I must decrease. Who's that for today? I'll be the first to put my hand up. He must increase, I must decrease. Selfish, self-centered life, thinking about me, must decrease. I must put him first. And this is, John the Baptist was saying this, and he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all, talking about Jesus. And what he has seen and heard, this he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. All these things that I've just been saying. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit, his Spirit, by measure. In other words, God wants you to be full of him. God don't want to give you a drop. He wants to give you a full rush of his Spirit, a full overflowing measure of his Spirit, fullness of his love. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in Jesus, the Son, has everlasting life. That's the promise of God. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you have everlasting life today? Because if you don't, on the day of judgment, when you meet with God, it's too late. That's what the Bible says. But that's why we have this life and this life alone, to make a decision about what we're going to do about Jesus and his death, his love for us on that cross when he died and rose again. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And that's what God wants you to have. He wants you to have everlasting life, real life that comes through him. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but has God's wrath, I don't like the sound of that, resting over him. So we need to move under the blessing of God by believing in him. And if you come with me to the letter of Ephesians and it's chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, we're talking about faith this morning, coming to a place of real faith. Ephesians chapter 2, and it's talking about here in a few verses here at we'll start reading at verse 4. It says here, God who is rich in mercy. You know what the word mercy means? It means God not giving to us what we deserve, sparing us mercy. And it says here, God who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved me and you, even when we were dead in our sins, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. If you've done the things we've just been talking about, by grace you've been saved. And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where Jesus is this morning, seated in heaven. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Grace, the word grace, it means actually God giving us unmerited favor, divine power. It's amazing. We don't deserve it either. And it says, the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ. In verse 8 it says, for by grace, God's unmerited favor, you have been saved. Through faith, that is. You've been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. So one of the things we learn here is that faith is a gift that God gives. Faith comes from God. And when I think about it, the more I think about it in my life, I realize that actually even to believe in Jesus is a gift that God gives. He makes it available to everyone, but it's a gift, an ability that God gives to you to believe in him in the first place. Amen. See, everyone here in this building here this morning had some point where they didn't believe in Jesus, where they hadn't given their life fully to him. But what God has done is he's given us the spirit of faith so that we can believe in him. And this is what the Bible is saying. It says God has given us faith by his grace. And this isn't something you kind of work up. I'm going to try and believe, I'm going to try and believe, I'm going to try and believe. Now, this is something God gives to you. And when you receive that faith, suddenly it's like having your eyes open to see who Jesus really is. It's like having your ears open. You understand God is there and he's talking to you. And it's by this faith in God that we are saved. And then let's have a look at another scripture. It's in 1 John, letter of John, chapter 5. I'm just pulling out some verses that explain this. Verse 4, and it says here, whatever is born of God, right, born again, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, overcomes the world's way. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So this faith that God gives to us has an overcoming power in it to overcome every obstacle that we face in this world. Anyone have some trouble in this world? Any of you had some trouble this week? Maybe even this morning, getting up, coming here. Maybe you had some trouble. Maybe some of you didn't even want to come here. But God says, you know what he says? He says, those who are born of me overcome the world. And there's all kinds of problems in the world, but I can testify of this, having seen God work in my own life, and in our own family and in many friends and people in the church, that this faith really works. Because this is God's faith that he gives to us when we receive Jesus. This faith really does powerful things and brings about change and transformation. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So this is your key this morning. If you don't believe in Jesus, you need to. And you need to believe and let him come and take his place in your life. And then you'll start living a whole new dimension of life that you never knew was possible. Amen. That's the truth. God will lift you up in a place of faith, because this faith is his dynamic of life that he puts in your spirit that you can begin to live by. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of faith. And let's go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. And while you're going there, how many of you heard of a guy called Abraham? Abraham and Sarah are, it's a true story in the Old Testament, talks about them, how that they couldn't have any children. And Abraham was almost 100 years old, and Sarah wasn't much younger herself, just a little bit younger. And God gave him an amazing promise. You may think this is far-fetched, but this is the truth. This is actually what happened. God gave her a promise, gave them a promise, that through you, they're going to become nations. What an amazing promise of faith. God spoke to Abraham, said, you're going to have a son. You're going to have, there's going to be generations. He said, look up at the stars in the sky and see if you can count them. Well, he couldn't do that. He said, look at the sand on the desert here that, where I'm talking to you. Count the grains. He couldn't do that either. And God said to him, your descendants are going to be more than you can number. Generations. God was making a promise. And she was in her 90s, or she may be 90. Abraham was a little bit less than 199, I think it was. And God comes with this amazing promise. You're going to have children. They laughed, wouldn't you? But what happened was they also believed. They had faith. And what God did, God changed Abraham's name to Abraham. And changed, her name was Sarai, changed it to Sarah. And Sarah meant mother of princes. Abraham meant father of many. So in their name calling, Abraham, she was, every time she spoke his name, she was declaring, you're going to be the father of many. And every time it went the other way, you're going to be mother of princes. So even in their names, they were speaking faith. They believed they were speaking faith. They believed they were speaking faith. They believed God. And guess what? She conceived. Virtually after they got the word, 9 months later, she conceived and she bore Isaac. It's all in the Bible here. And Isaac is the father of the people of Israel, the Jewish people. If you follow the line down, it comes, actually comes down to Jesus as well. He's all in that line, Jewish family. And who's hated the Jews over the years? Almost the whole world has been against the Jewish people. And yet God chose to run through this most obscure nation. He chose the smallest nation, if you like, the most despised people, and even sent himself to come and be a part of that nation. And yet God is still doing miracles. That's why there's so many problems in the Middle East today. Is because God's got his hand over Israel. They're not a perfect nation, we all know that, but God's got a promise over them as his people, as a very special nation, and he hasn't finished yet. And in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, are you all there? You're ahead of me, probably. Mark 11, I want to just tell you this story here. Mark 11, and we're going to read at verse 20. Just the day before, Jesus had actually spoken to a fig tree. It wasn't his normal thing. He would normally talk to people. But as he passed this fig tree, he cursed it. He actually said, "May no fruit bear, but you won't bear fruit anymore." And he actually cursed the fig tree. He did it for a reason. And it says, "In the morning, as they passed by, the disciples and Jesus, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, 'Teacher, look, the fig tree which you cursed yesterday has withered away. It's actually died.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Have faith in God.'" Now, I looked this up in the Greek, in the Greek New Testament, the original, and it literally says this. It says, "Have faith of God." That's literally what it says. Have faith of God. What's Jesus saying to us today? He's saying, be like me. He's saying, be like Jesus. He says, "I've given you faith. Now have the faith of God." In other words, use the faith of Jesus in your life. You haven't got to try and make faith happen. You haven't got to make things happen. You use the faith that I've given to you and you'll have success. You'll overcome. "And I say to you," Jesus says, "whoever says to this obstacle," whatever the obstacle is, "whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart," that's very important, doesn't doubt, "but believes that those things that he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Amen. So what you believe, what you think, and what you believe in your heart when you've come to know Jesus, and when you begin to say what he says, things happen. We've seen this work. We've actually, Claire and I, my wife and I, every house that we've lived in, we've had to do that. So God has worked miracles in that way. Very practical. When we lacked finance at certain times, we began to thank God that he will provide for us. And he provided for us. Different things. We've seen God heal people through operating through faith in this way. Hear what God says and we declare people healed. And we see them healed by his power. So we speak with faith. Have the faith of God. So it's not something we make up. It's something God gives to us. And this faith really works. Therefore, Jesus says, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. Let me give you an example. And I'm sorry if you've heard this story before, but it's just a very good example of how it works. Is a few years ago, I had a problem with my right arm. And it got weaker and weaker. And it actually went into quite a period of months. And in the end, I couldn't really lift things properly. And I think probably my wife was fed up with hearing about this jolly arm, that she said, why don't you go to the doctor and get it checked out? And maybe that maybe dig my heels in even more. And I thought, God, you're the healer, you know. And I prayed about it. And in my morning devotion, when I pray, as I was praying, I heard God speak to me very still. And he said to me, Paul, I'm tired about hearing about your arm. You keep telling me about your arm and the problem you've got. Why don't you just believe me and have faith and receive what I've already done for you? It was a real eye-opener for me. It really hit me between the eyes. Jesus was saying to me in my prayer time, listen, you're telling me about your problem. We're good at that, aren't we? Telling other people too sometimes about our greatest problem, whatever that is. But instead of going to God and getting the answer, and what God said to me as I prayed, he said to me, I've already done it for you. I took your sins and your sicknesses on the cross. Why don't you receive your healing today? It was a shock. That meant I had to use the faith that God had given to me then. And so in that moment, I remember I wrote it down on a piece of paper on June 19, 1903. As I was praying, I thank God that this morning I'm receiving my healing right now in Jesus' name, because the Bible says, believe. When you pray, believe that he will do what you ask for. And I knew it was his will to heal me. I knew it wasn't his will my arm should be weak like this. And so in that moment, I tell you where I received it. Do you want to know where I received it? Received the answer? I didn't receive the answer in the arm. I received the answer in here. I actually took hold of God's... some of you may think, this guy's really crazy. It's a strange thing we've come to this morning. But I received it in that moment. I received it in here. I knew I'd been healed. Yeah. And I'll be really honest with you, I moved my arm and it actually felt worse after I prayed. But I knew in here and in here that I was healed. I knew I received the gift of healing. Now this is what happened. This has been going on for months. Sometime during those next 4 or 5 days, and I couldn't tell you exactly when it was, but sometime during those next few days, as I was thanking God, I'm totally healed, my arm's healed, it didn't bother me anymore. I wasn't worrying about it because I knew it was here. I had the gift of healing on my arm. One of those days, it was just like it just disappeared. And it dawned on me as I came home, I went into the house. Wow, my arm's completely free. It's strong. It's completely healed. In a moment, it had been done. Now, that's the power of God. Amen. And some people here this morning, you need prayer for healing. Please don't feel you can't come forward, because when we finish the meeting this morning, I want you to come forward. There'll be a few of us who will pray for you for your healing. Why? Because that's what he does. Amen. I had malaria some years ago, and in my recovery, I had cerebral malaria, and that kills the brain. If you know anything about it, it fries your brain. And the effect of it was that I couldn't think properly, I couldn't speak properly, I was used to preaching a bit and talking to people, I couldn't even do that properly. I forgot what I was saying. I'd be afraid to perhaps ask Simon a question, if Simon was there at the time, because I'd immediately forget what I just asked. And the thing about faith is that during those days, as I was recovering home, just over those next 3 months, every single day, because I knew God was my healer, I said, thank you, Jesus. I laid my hands on my head and I just read the word of God, and Claire was praying for me as well. I just confess every day, thank you, God, I have a complete mind. You're healing my mind. You're healing my brain. My brain cells will work well. Thank you, Jesus, you're healing me completely. And in those 3 months, God actually completely healed my mind, completely healed my brain. And my memory is better today than it was back then. And I was quite a bit younger then. My memory's good. What's God? He's the healer. How's he healed? By faith. Gives us the gift of faith. And when you start using the gift of faith, you realize this isn't off you. This comes from God. And God wants us to live by faith. Just come with me to Hebrews chapter 11. And Hebrews 11. What is faith? Are you ready? What is faith? It says here, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Anyone ever hope for something? But this hope isn't a hope of, well, maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. This hope is so solid, it's like an anchor. This hope says it'll be. So when I received my healing for my arm, you couldn't tell me any different. Even though my arm at that moment wasn't healed, I knew I had it. It was mine. And this kind of God kind of faith, it says faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not yet physically seen. And then verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds, the creation, was framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. In other words, this is how God operates with faith. What he does is he had in his mind, he wanted to create stars. He wanted to create universes. He wanted to create the earth. And he had this in his spirit. He knew exactly what he wanted to do. And then having believed it in his heart, because he's full of faith, he then spoke, and every word that he spoke created things. This is how it works for us too, that our words create life or create death. They create good things or bad things. And God, when he created the heavens, he created by faith. So he saw what he wanted to do, he spoke the word, and it was created. And God's saying to us today, I want you to live like that. I want you to see the things that I want to do, and I want you to see it in here, in your spirit, in your faith, and then speak those words out, pray those words out that I'm saying. And as you do, things will change. Things will happen, but you must believe, have the faith of God. So we have to have faith in God, but we have to have the faith of God working on the inside of us, and then activate that faith by the things that we say and the things that we do. You know, again, this is going back into the original. It actually means, in the Greek, it means faith is the title deed. Has anyone got some keys here this morning? Keys. Faith is the title deed. I was going to say, has anyone got their title deeds with them this morning? Okay, keys. Lee's keys. So on this key ring, I've got Lee's car. I've got, hopefully I've got his front door, I've got his house. Well, these keys represent what he's got, don't they? And a title deed represents land or property on that title deed. So once you've got the title deed, even before you actually move in, thanks, mate, you've got the lot. Are you with me? And what it says here in Hebrew, it's saying faith is the title deed of things hoped for. In other words, if you get the promise or the title deed of something, get God's word for something, and you take hold of it and believe it's yours. Are you with me? Whether it's a house, whether it's seeing someone become a Christian, whether it's seeing someone being healed, whether it's reaching a town like Crawley, we know that God's called us to have a very strong work reaching young people. He told us that some years ago. So we've been actively praying, but not just praying, but taking some steps. So this morning's offering about the youth ministry and the youth work is another step, because we know that God's told us to do it. So we've got to put our hands in our pocket and our faith and help to serve young people. We've got some great people that do that in this church who are gifted to do it. But we've got to help as a whole body to support this. How? Through faith. Do you agree? Faith isn't working in the natural realm. Faith is working in the spiritual realm. It's wonderful. Faith is the title deed of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not yet seen. And then let's look at one more scripture. I'm going to finish on this one this morning. Matthew chapter 17. Gospel of Matthew chapter 17. I remember some years ago, our neighbour over the road where we used to live, she couldn't get in through her front door. She had one of these UPVC front doors, and the sun always, when the sun came up, it was actually the front door faced the sunshine, and it used to swell up and had real problems getting through the door. And I remember one day seeing her struggling, trying to get this door, and the door just wouldn't open. And I went across the road, and I said, "Geraldine, what's the problem?" So she said, she explained, and I thought, oh yeah, some of these UPVC doors are like that, aren't they? And so I said, let me pray for your door. And so we prayed for the door, and I'm not kidding you, she put the key in, turned it, and the door opened. What was that, a coincidence? No, that was faith. God gave me faith that when I prayed, something would happen.
Amen.
We see the same thing happening when we pray for people to be healed. Sometimes when we pray for people to be healed, there's such a strong faith that I know that this person will be healed. Whether they see it in an instance or during the next period of time doesn't matter to me. As long as I've seen it from God, we proclaim that in the name of Jesus, because he's the healer, and by faith in his name, things happen. It's wonderful. And Matthew 17, we're going to finish on this. It says at verse 14 here, "When Jesus came to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him.' And Jesus answered and said to them," this is a nice thing for Jesus to say to his disciples, "'faithless, perverse generation.'" They're his best friends. And he says, "You're faithless and you're perverse. How long am I going to put up with you?" In other words, I've spent 3 years with you guys. I've shown you how to heal the sick, cast out demons, how to preach, how to live by faith, and you're still struggling to cast out a demon out of a young epileptic boy. And he said, "Bring the boy to me." And instantly, this boy was delivered of this demon that made him go into fits. He was set free from it. He was healed from this, from having these fits. I remember some years ago, I was called by a friend. He wasn't a Christian, he was a friend. And he said, "Paul, can you come? A friend of mine has overdosed on, I don't know, it was a bad substance, and it was a dirty needle and the rest of it. And so he was having a bad trip, and it was quite serious." And normally, you'd say, well, you know, call an ambulance, get the doctors in, do something. Now, this is what happened. When I went to the house, I walked through the front door, and God said to me, "You won't have to call an ambulance, and you won't have to call a doctor." Now, that goes right against the grain of my natural thinking, and probably against everyone else's. But God spoke very clearly to me, "Have faith in me." And this guy was tossing and turning. He wasn't really with it at all. And I went up to him and just laid hands on his head and spoke to him about Jesus. And immediately a peace came in the room. It wasn't a natural peace, it was a supernatural peace. God's peace came. And I commanded healing grace to flow upon his body for the dirty needle and the drugs that he's taken. And I said to his friend, "He'll sleep now and he'll be fine, and you'll find that sometime during these next 24 hours, God will just do his work. But just leave him now. We'll just continue to thank God for his healing." Well, what actually happened, I found out the next day, what happened was, through that prayer of faith that we prayed for him, about 3 hours later, he woke up out of a very, very deep sleep. He woke up as if nothing had happened. He woke up, bright eyes, and this wasn't just a light drug either, and he said he felt really hungry, and they had a big fry-up. Bacon, eggs, you know, the sort of bloke's breakfast about 3 o'clock or so in the morning. And I saw him just the following day, and he was as right as rain. And he said, "What was that that happened to me when you put your hand on my head? What happened? What was that that happened to me?" I said, that was the love and the power of Jesus that was healing you. He said, "I've never felt anything like that." See, that's faith. God gave me faith. I didn't create that. God gave me faith, and faith in God worked a miracle for that young man to prove to him that Jesus was alive and that Jesus loved him. Isn't that great?
Amen.
He'll do the same for you and for your friends if you have faith in God. And it says here, Jesus then rebuked the demon. It came out of the child from that hour. And the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Jesus, why couldn't we do it?" And he said to them, now listen to this. This is for all of us here today. "Because of your unbelief." That's the issue that we're faced with today. Unbelief. Disbelief. When God has done everything, we still disbelieve him. So, "Oh, I don't really believe he died on the cross. Oh, I don't believe he's really alive today. Oh, I don't believe..." Or if you're a Christian, you say, I don't believe that could happen in my life. I don't believe I could possibly do that. I don't believe that that can happen. What are we doing? We're disbelieving what God says. So Jesus rebuked the disciples, and he rebukes us, rebukes me sometimes for this. He's because of your unbelief. For certainly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed. Amen. You know, mustard seed is the tiniest seed, one of the tiniest seeds in the face of this planet. I read something about a mustard seed, the mustard seed, but I won't bore you with all the details now, but the amazing properties of a mustard seed. And Jesus said, your faith is like, the faith that I give to you is like a mustard seed. He rebuked the disciples because of their little faith. In the Greek, it actually says, because of your little faith. In other words, what the disciples were doing was they were trying to cast the demon, or they were trying to heal this boy of his fits, of his epilepsy. They were trying to with their little faith. So they'd seen Jesus do some stuff, they'd heard what Jesus said, and they were trying to apply it in their own ability. And Jesus said, because of your little faith, he was saying, listen, why don't you use some of mine? Even a mustard seed of my faith will move mountains and will heal sick people and set people free. He said, that's literally what he says, nothing will be impossible for you if you have this faith that I give to you. Wow. God's speaking to us today about faith. He wants us either to come to a place of faith. For some of you here today who don't know Jesus, he wants you to come to a place where you really believe in him and know him. And you can ask him to come today. You can turn your life over to him today if you believe what he did on the cross through his death and resurrection. Ask him to forgive you your sin. Ask him to be the Lord of your life. He'll come instantly. When you do that from your heart, he'll do that. He'll bring you to a place of faith. For others here today, you're already in a place of faith, but your problem, your difficulty is that you continue to disbelieve God. And so nothing very much happens. Your Christian life isn't really growing because you keep disbelieving God. God wants to change that today. So the thing that set me free was when I realized I don't have to try any longer. Amen. To heal people or help people to become Christians or get money in my bank. I don't have to do that any longer. It's not about me, my little faith. It's about his faith in me. Hallelujah. Start using his faith and everything changes. And so that dynamic of his faith, that spirit of faith, if you start using what you have and start living out of your spirit rather than living out of yourself, your soul, and trying to create a little faith there. But if you live out of your spirit, that's where God's faith is. And if you start praying and living and speaking out of that spirit of faith, things will change in you and things will change around you. Amen. Things will change in your family. Things will change in your community, with your neighbours, in your workplace, in your bank account, wherever it needs to change. God will bring about change through faith in him. Let's all stand, shall we?